Oh, come to heaven. You can clap, let's go. All right. Joy to the world. Hallelujah. Y'all ready to get a little joy in this place? Come on, let's get excited.
We have two opportunities for the Christmas service, and I kind of like having everybody all together, but I'm so glad you're here, and we love the convenience of being able to worship. Sometimes we only have Christmas Eve, people can't make it because they have family obligations, so we're so glad to have this opportunity with you. Thank you for being here with us. What a wonderful thing to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
The birth of our Savior. Praise God. Well, I want to welcome, if there's anyone visiting us for the first time tonight, if you've never been to a service at our church, we'd just like to welcome you. We love having visitors here, don't we? If you are here for the first time, we'd just like to honor you, like to give you a gift right where you're sitting. So if you're here, we don't want to embarrass you, but if you're here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand that we can hand you a gift bag right where you're sitting? Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Come on, thank you. Right here on this side too. Thank you so much, Thomas. Wonderful. In that gift bag, just a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve, and we put it in there hoping it'll be a blessing to you. But thank you for joining us today. We hope that you'll come back another regular Sunday. But in that bag is a white card. We actually just take a moment and fill it out. And during our service, we hand an offering bag by. You just drop that white card in, it gives us the opportunity to give you a call, and thank you for joining us today. So thank you for doing that. Praise the Lord. Well, family, we're going to have the opportunity to give right now. Sound good? If I don't hear it from you, I look to Miguel, right? Always, always. So, you know, this is Christmas time, and you think about the Christmas story. It's quite amazing, you know, that the Christmas story is totally the story about the love that God has for us, the great love that God has for us. He's the ultimate giver, right? And, you know, when we read, I'm going to read to you from Matthew, from the account of the birth of Jesus. It says in Matthew 2, after they had heard the king, they went their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. We know the Christmas story, don't we, family? That the shepherds, the angels spoke to them, and they saw, the wise men saw the star, and they followed that star. And so it says that it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, with frankincense and myrrh. Now these travelers came all the way from the east. The Bible said they traveled a long way. And when they came, they brought gifts to the Lord. They brought gifts to this baby. They knew that his birth was significant. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And maybe to us that doesn't mean a lot. My daughter's been doing the essential oils, so we've been hearing a lot about the qualities of frankincense. Quite amazing, actually. But the truth is that they were very valuable things that they brought. These spices were extremely valuable in that day. In fact, many estimate that at that time, translated into modern money, frankincense would have cost $500 a pound. That's a lot, right? And myrrh would have cost $4,000 a pound. Oh my gosh, $4,000 a pound. That's a lot of money. So what I'm telling you is that what they did, there's two things they did when they came to see Jesus for the first time. They worshipped him first of all, and then they gave offerings to him. They brought their treasure to him. That was a part of their worship. That's a part of saying what it was that he meant to them. And so too today, as we come, as a body of believers, as we come, you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't believe in the Christmas story, in the story of Jesus coming to the earth on our behalf, right? And we come, we set this time aside. It's a busy day today. It's a busy day tomorrow. But we know that we come to worship him, right? And we also come, when we come to worship him, we don't come empty-handed. We come and we give. It is a season of giving. And everything, we've got to know that God is the ultimate giver. Everything we have comes from him. Isn't that true? And so right now, as we have the opportunity to give, there are envelopes on the seats in, right behind, right underneath you, or next to you. There are envelopes there. And this is an opportunity as a part of our worship to give. I made sure that I made out a check before I left home, just knowing that this is a place and a time of worship before the Lord, a time of giving. Amen. And right, we are having our year-end offering, as many churches do. Through the month of December, we have our Heart for the House offering, where we give over and above our regular tithes and offerings. I'm talking to our members, not necessarily to our visitors, but our church runs on our regular tithes and offerings, and then through the month of December, we give over and above as we feel led. So thank you for doing that. We encourage you to do it as a part of this body. And as we prepare to receive the offering, the ushers have the Heart for the House envelopes. So if you need one of those, you may have taken one last week, but if you do, just raise your hand and an usher will get one to you, the red envelopes. Otherwise, you can just go ahead and use, thank you, Brandy, just go ahead and use the black ones that are on your seat. We appreciate that. And we have a song item from our one and only, you're going to put your hands together for James Smith.
Come on, Merry Christmas, everybody! Now to the wife, that means a Merry Christmas! Put your hand over this right here. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the reason for the season? We don't act like it. Why you start that so fast on me, man? Put your hand like this right here. Come on, put your hand over like this. Start over for me, please. Start over, Miguel. You got to listen to Miguel. Start over, Miguel. Miguel, start over, Miguel. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the reason for the season? If I had to do this song over, I'd say Jesus is the reason for every season. Now, I know this season, Jesus is the reason for every season. Every season in my life, Jesus has been the reason for a lot of things I've gone through. But you know what? The devil tried to destroy us, but he can't destroy us. God allows to go through some things sometimes so we can get tough. So we can get tough skin. The name of the song is called Jesus is the reason for the season.
Just we have heard on high.
Yeah. Miguel, then you want to listen to me. Now play it. Press the button. And you finish my song. And if you don't know, now you know. Put your hands together, y'all. Said I love you when you call him your savior. Go, 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 go. Said I love you when you call him your savior. Go, 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 go. Said I love you when you call him your savior. Go, go, go. Said I love you when you call him your savior. Go, go. Listen. Said who got the praise?
We got the praise.
And who you get a praise to?
Jesus.
I said who got the praise?
We got the praise.
And who you get a praise to?
Jesus.
I said who got the praise?
I believe as you go out of here tonight, then you'll feel the same way. Say, I believe in Christmas.
I believe in Christmas.
Do you know that there has been a concerted effort to take Christ out of Christmas? I don't know if you noticed, but I was saying to Jill, I've noticed a lot more people saying Merry Christmas lately.
Yes.
I noticed a lot more people saying Merry Christmas
yes.
than I did before. But I want to just boldly declare, it's not season's greetings, it's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas.
Amen.
It's a celebration of Christ's birth.
Yes.
The word Christmas comes from two words. Obviously the word Christ, that's a Greek word, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one. And then the word Mass is a Latin word, and it means celebration. So Christmas, literally the word means a celebration of Christ. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is a celebration of Christ. So I want us to go through the story and celebrate two truths about Christmas that we need to firmly establish in our lives. And we're going to read two passages of Scripture. The first one is in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. And the second one is in the book of Isaiah. So if you brought your Bible with you tonight, which I hope you did, turn and read with me, hear the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1 from verse number 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example of her, he was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, in Hebrew, the name Jesus is Yeshua, and it literally means God is salvation. That's what Jesus' name means, salvation. And so it says in verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she will bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, when Matthew says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he was talking about the prophet Isaiah. So let's read this prophecy that Matthew's referring to in Isaiah chapter 7, reading from verse 10. It says, Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And then he said, Hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now here's the sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that's the prophecy that Matthew's quoting, that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. And let me give you some background, because Ahaz is the king of Judah. And at this time, he's an ungodly king. In fact, he was not a godly man. He never was. And Syria is attacking and besieging Judah. They even have Israel involved in it. So King Ahaz is afraid because Syria is coming to attack Judah. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him with a prophecy. And if you back up and read a little bit before, you'll see where Isaiah says to him, God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of his people. And then he says to King Ahaz, Ask for a sign. This is what God says. Ask him for a sign. And King Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask for a sign because I don't want to test God. It sounds like a very spiritual answer, but it really isn't spiritual at all, because you've got to realize Ahaz was not a godly man. As a matter of fact, at the very time this happened, while Syria is coming against them, setting their battle forces in array against Judah, Ahaz has made a deal under the table, a behind-the-scenes deal, with the king of Assyria. And in essence, the deal is, he is going to sell the people of Israel as slaves to the king of Assyria so that he can save his own life. He doesn't want to trust God. He doesn't want to do it God's way. He wants to manipulate and do it his own way. So when he said, I'm not going to test God, it wasn't that he didn't want to test God. It was that he didn't want to trust God. He wanted to trust the way he could work it out, the way he could put things together in his own ability. So God says, you know what? I'm going to give you a sign. And then he gives this messianic prophecy. The word messianic means a scripture in the Old Testament that refers to the Messiah, the coming Messiah, who we know is Jesus Christ. So that's what a messianic prophecy is. It's a prophecy that talks about the coming of Christ. And here's what God says to King Ahaz. He says, I'm going to give you a sign, Ahaz. And here's the sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. And you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, how would that be a sign to King Ahaz? Because this is 740 years before the birth of Christ. So how is that a sign that he's going to be okay? Here's the sign. You've got to remember, Ahaz is the king of Judah, which is of the house of David. That's the lineage of Jesus. Jesus came through the lineage of David, the house of Judah, the lineage of the Messiah. So here's what God is saying. He's saying, don't you remember, King Ahaz, the Messiah is coming through the house of David, through the tribe of Judah. And the sign is the Messiah hasn't come yet. Therefore, there's no way that anything could happen to you, because I have a plan and a purpose for the people of God. That's the sign. You don't have to worry, because the Assyrians are not going to defeat you, because the prophecy must be fulfilled. Are you following me so far? Listen, there's no way the enemy can prevail against you, because you are God's people and God has a purpose for your life. That's the same sign we have today, because we're the people of God, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose for our life. So when the enemy comes and he says, I'm going to get you, I'm going to destroy you, you just remember, no, you can't, because I'm a child of God, and God's got a plan, and God's got a purpose for my life in the future. Now, this prophecy contains two truths that we really need to firmly have established in our lives as believers and followers of Christ. Number one, I believe in the virgin birth. Say, I believe in the virgin birth. A lot of people don't think that's important, but it's extremely important. Let me tell you why it's so important to believe in the virgin birth. Because since Jesus was born of a virgin, it means he was fully God when he was on the earth. God with us. Matthew 1 verse 18, we read it earlier. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize why there is such an attack against believing in the virgin birth? You know, some people today, they think you like a dummy. You believe in the virgin birth, but they believe in evolution. You need more faith to believe in evolution than you do believe in the virgin birth. But why is there such an attack against the virgin birth? Because if he wasn't born of a virgin, he was conceived by a man, that means he's not God. That means he's not God. The only way Jesus could be God was to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was God on this earth. Emmanuel means God with us. Not a representative of God, but God himself with us. Why is that important? Well, you see, the Bible says the iniquities of the father is passed on to the children. It doesn't say the iniquities of the mother. So some woman said, she told it. Your fault. It says the iniquities of the Bible says in Exodus 20 verse 5, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. You see, sin is passed down through the father. So God cannot be born of a human being. Because every human being is, that sin has been passed down. So God used the egg of a woman, but the seed came from God. Jesus wasn't conceived by the seed of a man. That's why Jesus was without sin. He didn't have a sin nature. And God prophesied this way back in the beginning in Genesis. Right after Satan, the serpent, tempted them. In Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. How many of you know women don't have seed? Amen. I said, how many know women don't have any seed?
Amen.
So why did God say between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Now, that's the heart of Christianity, family. Because Jesus came to save us from our sin. And every human being is born in sin. It's been passed down. That's why Romans 5 verse 12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. And then in Psalm 51 verse 5, David said, I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. We are born in sin. Sin is passed down. Jesus wasn't conceived by human seed, because then he would have been born in sin. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. That's why the virgin birth is so important, because Jesus left heaven and he came to the earth and he slipped inside a human body. God with us. Hebrews 10 verse 5. That is why Christ said as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you, so you have made ready this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon the altar. God prepared a body. Jesus left heaven, came to the earth, and slipped inside of that human body. It's important for us to believe in the virgin birth, because it helps us understand that Jesus was and is God. He's not a messenger from God. He is God himself. Who came to the earth with a message.
Amen.
What is that message? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I break that verse down for you? For God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest opportunity, believes the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest attraction, should not perish the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Here's what we need to understand. You've got to understand this about God with us. God didn't send somebody to redeem us. He came himself. Like I heard this story about a judge. And one of his friends had gotten a ticket, speeding ticket. And so he asked his friend, the judge, if he'd take care of it for him. And so he said, yeah, I'll take care of it. So a few weeks later, his friend called. He said, hey, thanks for dismissing that ticket for me. The judge said, I didn't dismiss it. He said, I thought you said you were going to take care of it. He said, I did take care of it. He said, well, if you didn't dismiss it, how did you take care of it? He said, I paid it. His friend said, I didn't want you to pay for the ticket. I wanted you to do your judge thing. The judge said, were you guilty? He said, yes, I was. He said, then justice demanded that the penalty be paid, and if I'm a righteous judge, I can't just dismiss it. The penalty has to be paid. You know, a lot of people believe that God, the righteous judge, just dismissed the charges against us, but he didn't. Because he's a righteous judge, he paid the penalty himself. It's important to believe in the virgin birth because it helps us to understand that God is with us. That God paid the price for our sin. That Jesus was fully God on this earth. The second thing is important to understand. I believe that Jesus came in the flesh. These are two truths I want you to always hold in your heart. In the same way that there is a war raging against the virgin birth, there's a war raging against this. You see, the virgin birth declares that he is God. Do you realize it's the same argument they were having 2,000 years ago? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah. Or one of the other prophets. Aren't there people today still saying, well, Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a good man. He said, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. How many of you know the answer today is the same as it was 2,000 years ago? He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. That's why it's important for us to believe in the virgin birth. And it's important for us to believe that Jesus came to the earth in the flesh. He became a man. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's important to understand that Jesus, God, became a man. In 1 John 4 verse 2, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming, is already in the world. In 2 John verse 7, it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver. This is an Antichrist. Why is it important to understand and believe that Jesus came to the earth? God came to the earth in the flesh. It's important to believe these two truths, that he was fully God and that he was fully man, that God became a man. But you know why that's important? Because if he didn't become a man, then he never died.
Amen.
And if he didn't die, then our sins have not been atoned for. He had to die to pay for our sins. God had to become a man. And Jesus was God in the flesh. Hebrews 2 verse 14 says, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh, made of blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. You need to know that Jesus broke the power of death. Every one of us is going to face death unless the Lord returns. But the good news is our Lord already faced death and overcame it. In Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he who lives and I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. My Lord suffered. He bled and died for me. And my Lord defeated death, and he rose again. Every one of us is going to go through death's doorway, family. But I want you to know that when you know Jesus, there's no fear in death. Jesus became a man. He became a human being. Every one of us have had a loved one die. We've all lost somebody close to us. It's very tough to watch somebody that we love suffer and die. I was talking to someone a while back. We had a loved one who was dying. And I told him, I said, God knows how you feel. Because Jesus became a man. He was subject to death. God watched his own son die. So the man said, but God knew he'd rise again. And I said to him, so do you. You're going to rise again too. You see, because Jesus became a man and died, because he rose from the grave, we have the victory. These truths are so important, family, that we believe in the virgin birth, because it tells us that God was conceived by the Holy Spirit, which means he was fully God. And the world wants to attack that truth, because if they can discredit that he wasn't really God, but he was and he is God. Then we need to understand that he came in the flesh, that God became a man. And as a man, he suffered. And as a man, he died. Another famous messianic scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah's got the most messianic prophecies in the Bible. And this one you'll see on a lot of Christmas cards. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Jesus was fully man and Jesus was fully God. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is, notice that, a child is born. That's talking about Jesus coming to the earth, being born and becoming human. But then it says the son is given. You see, Jesus didn't just start his existence when he was born in Bethlehem. We read it, in the beginning was the word. Jesus has always existed. Amen. So the son was given, but the child had to be born. That's showing you that Jesus was God and Jesus was man. And in his humanity, he was born of a virgin. But in his deity, he was given. He's always existed. The world was created by him. I want you to think about something. All the way back in the beginning, let's just say that Adam wasn't with Eve when she sinned. Now we know that he was. But let's just say, for the sake of illustration, that Adam wasn't with Eve when she sinned. He didn't protect his wife. But what if Adam had not sinned? What if Adam had been on the other side of the garden when Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And a conversation, something like this, would have happened. God would have come to Adam and said, Adam, I'm so sorry to tell you this, my son, but the bride that I made for you has sinned. And because she has sinned, she's going to die. Now we know that didn't happen. But can I tell you what did happen? God the Father had to go to his son and say, son, I'm so sorry to tell you, but the bride that I made for you has sinned and she is going to die. And our Lord and Savior said, I will die for her. I will die so that my bride can live. That is the story of Christmas, family. That is the celebration of Christmas. God left heaven, came to the earth, was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, lived a perfect sinless life, And when he was 33 years of age, went to the cross willingly, laid down his life, was beaten, was crucified, died for you and me so that we could live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, that's the story of Christmas. Maybe you've seen the manger scene and you've heard the story before, but maybe it's not real to you because you've never given control of your life to Jesus. You've never really yielded your life to Jesus. I want to encourage you, the greatest gift you can ever receive in your life, the greatest gift I've ever received in my life, and I received some good ones, but the greatest gift was the day that I received eternal life, that I received Jesus into my heart, and I gave my life, yielded my life to him, said, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. That was the greatest day, that was the greatest gift, the greatest decision that you can ever make. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. I want to ask you for a moment to just bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask the pianist to come back for me. Sin. What did you say?
Sin.
Okay. And while you have your heads bowed, while you have your eyes closed, I want to encourage you. There's no better time than at Christmas to give your life to Jesus. I want you to take a moment right now and say, Lord, I give you my life. I've made a mess of it, but I give you control of my life today. Say this, say, I believe in the Christmas story. Come on, say, I believe you were born of a virgin. I believe you really were God on the earth, coming as a human being to redeem me. I believe it. I receive you today in the name of Jesus. Let me ask you a question while our heads are bowed. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know for sure, can you say that you know without any doubt, you are positive? If you died tonight, you know you would go to heaven. You are sure about that. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died tonight, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. Maybe you say, I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died tonight. Are you sure? Are you certain that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know that. You can leave here tonight and you can know that all is well, all is right between you and God. You can know that every sin, every mistake you've ever made in your life is forgiven and it's washed away. You can leave here today knowing for sure in your heart that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. Tonight, receive this gift that God came to the earth to bring you. The gift of eternal, everlasting, abundant life. If you say, I want to pray right now. I want to pray for any person. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But right where you're sitting, while eyes are closed, while heads are bowed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to make sure that all is well, all is right between me and God. Pray for me. If you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I'm going to ask you quickly just to slip your hand up right now. Lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. Praise God. All right. Let's stand up together. As we close tonight, let us sing, I believe in Christmas. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the virgin birth. How many believe that tonight? Lift your hand and wave at me if you believe it tonight. Then will you sing it with us tonight? Can we declare it tonight? Come on, let's go ahead.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection.
Yeah. sing Micah Might Go There.
Oh, wow.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it a lot.
Yeah? What year are you now?
I'm a sophomore.
You're a sophomore, okay. Next year, Evan Micah will be a freshman. So,
oh, my God.
Oh, no. He's here somewhere. Have you seen him?
He was back here.
Yeah, yeah. Go say hi to him and tell him that you're going to PBA and see.
Yeah. And that is wonderful.
That's what?
At the end, that is wonderful.
Yes.
I'm really involved.
Yes, that's good. Well, Ava went there 2 years, and I think Michael went there for my sign. So, anyway, yeah, we're really, if there's some good points that looks like he might go there, you know, still looking for other. He must have gone to Tennessee.
Wow.
Well,
let's go, babe. It's too far.
Although, well, my family is from Kentucky, and then Jordan and Abel. Right now, Abel's in Tennessee. So we'll see. The Nashville area. So, but, yeah, we're all praying about it all. You know how that is, you know, when you make a decision for your life, you want to be prayed up and know for yourself.
I'm so glad she likes it, because she's like, yeah. Oh,
Where are your friends from? Are they from here?
No, actually, a lot of my friends are from Ohio and Germany. Friends that I have. And they're like, I can't leave. I just can't. And then I'm involved with, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So
my daughter was, there's a Nashville big group of young life there. And I never even heard of it until the one I was talking about. And then there was some people and Stuart that were helping and helping my group get started.
Yeah, that's where I am. Oh, yeah.
Do you know the Jenkins? Okay, that's okay. But yeah, Young Life is in there. Oh, so that's a big PDA?
Well, I've been doing it since I was in high school, and then I just became a leader whenever I was, I'm a middle school leader.
Middle school.
We have it in Abacoa, and that, weird field that they have, and we have all of our kids go there. We have a
family. That's great. Jordan's friends were doing, girls that were pregnant, kind of, they were doing
Young Lives.
Mm-hmm. So they were some doing that. So yeah, that's really big for me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. My current
leader chapters. There's a lot of chapters. How many chapters are here?
There's two in this area. There's Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens, and then there's one in Orlando. And then it keeps getting more and more.
Wow. I guess I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan in my high school, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was too. Yeah. It didn't get into Jupiter until this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's probably the Jenkins who goes kind of stuck from me. Praise God. That's good, Abby. I don't know what that means. Give Mike a big
hand. I will. I will. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.